Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Our web address, again, crossandthrone.com. Go there. You can get our programs for free. You can play them, download them, and go back and study the scriptures that we cover in these here programs. And we hope that you continue listening, and we hope that if you're getting some enjoyment and benefit, you consider helping with the cost of the radio stations you're at, and let us know if you can do that. We do travel. We've had meetings in Indianapolis and South Carolina and Georgia, Tennessee, and I know a number of radio stations we have listeners. I know down in Huntsville. And if you're interested in having meetings, please let us know. We come down and teach the scriptures and try to see you establish maybe a local meeting out of your homes. We're not anti-church, but we are anti, what's the word I'm looking for? We have no creed here except the scriptures. We have no recognized official pastors. We believe a local church consists of elders and deacons, according to 1 Timothy 3. No one man domineering over the rest. And that the meetings are devoted to the study of the scriptures and to love for one another and the various helps needed among the family of God's people. And so we hope that you would consider starting a meeting in your own area. Get the Word of God opened and teach others. Well, we are in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we are in chapter 1, and we left off last time and covering verse 4. We've seen so far here in verses 3 and 4 the unique blessings that belong to the body of Christ, their spiritual blessings. We saw the unique place where those blessings are to be enjoyed, that's in heavenly places. And then we saw the unique time frame connected with the choosing of the members of the body of Christ, and it's before the foundation of the world. Other callings are from the foundation of the world, but the church, which is his body, is chosen before the foundation of the world. We teach here what is called by the enemies of this hyper-dispensationalism or dispensational truth. The word dispensation is not a bad word. It's not an evil word. It's used in the scriptures. We believe the Bible cover to cover, but we believe the need to rightly divide the word of truth. And we trust that you won't blame us for that, but you'll search and see. Now, in verse 4, again, we talked about he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And we talked about that word holy and without blame. When we think of the word holy, get out of your mind any thought of church steeples, vestments, and incense, but have the thought of separated to God, something that is connected with his love and his goodness. I think the first time we read of the word holy is in Exodus chapter 3, where God tells Moses to take off his shoes from his feet for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And then the rest of the chapter is devoted to the redeeming work of God for Israel, coming down to deliver. So holiness, first and foremost, does have connection with God's righteousness in delivering his people, but is also connected with his love and his goodness in the family setting, as we pointed out in 1 Thessalonians 3, that when we abound in love, God has us unblameable in holiness. And so, holy and without blame. Ephesians 5, it says, without blemish. An unblemished sacrifice in the Old Testament is a picture of an animal, of a person who's without blame. And positionally in Christ, we are without blame. The Lord Jesus was without blame. The Lord Jesus stood up before his enemies and said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" And no one can point the finger. He was, the Apostle Paul says, he knew no sin. John, the Apostle, says, in him there is no sin. And Peter said he did no sin. So he is without blame, and you and I in him are without blame. In ourselves, by nature, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Paul here in Ephesians is talking about our position. In Ephesians 4 through 6, he will talk about our condition and our practice, and that we should walk worthy of our calling. If we are without blame positionally, we should endeavor through God's grace and in the indwelling spirit to walk worthy of that by living an unblameable life. Most of us are not going to get three hits in 10 and hit 300 doing this, but it all has to do with our attitude. and an understanding of our position. So it says we're holy and without blame before Him. Before Him, in His eyes, He examines us. Just like the priest would examine the offering was brought before the Lord. Read the book of Leviticus and see the word before the Lord mentioned so many times, as if it's all in front of His eyes and His view. Because these offerings were to go up as a sweet savor to God, and only God can see the perfection of the sacrifice. And God truly has estimated the perfection of the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you and I are perfect in Him. We're without blame before Him. In His eyes, He sees us in Christ, and He can find no blame. And He finds absolute satisfaction in the person and work of Christ. Friends, it's not what you and I have done for God. It's what Christ has done for us that in which we find our acceptance. And so that's a great place to start. Christianity has for its starting point what religion has for its goal. You and I start off complete in Christ. We have everything that religion seeks. Religion seeks acceptance with God and a holy life. We already have that to start. And based off of what we have, we seek to live it out. Not to get it, but we walk worthy of it. Christianity has for its starting point what religion has for its goal. Think about that. And then finally we see the motive in verse 4. He's chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the motivation. Why did God love us? Because He loved us. I want to read you a passage in Deuteronomy regarding the nation of Israel, because I think there's a parallel here. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, and it's kind of interesting how the Lord prepared me for this, because in my Bible reading this morning, I was in Deuteronomy 7. And by the way, friends, this is why we should be Bible readers. We should study the Scriptures every day. Read through the Scriptures. Because when you do that, God prepares your heart and mind. And when you need the Scriptures, they're there for you. And I think if I hadn't been reading my Scriptures this morning, this might not have come up. But I want to read this for you in Deuteronomy chapter 7. God is speaking of Israel. Verse 6. "And for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God." You see that? Holy? They're a holy people. You and I are chosen in Christ that we should be holy, remember? "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." See that? Remember in Ephesians 1 there, it says we're chosen in Him to be holy. Notice that. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Now that was true for Israel. God chose Israel. That didn't mean that only Israelites were believers. No, that just meant that the nation of Israel had a unique blessing above the rest of the nations. And you and I, if we are members of the body of Christ, God has chosen us above all of God's redeemed people to have a sphere of blessing and a place of blessing above everyone else. Not because we deserve it, but because He decided He wanted to manifest His grace to the undeserving, like us. And so God chose Israel this way. He goes, "The Lord, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you." Did you hear that? Why did God choose Israel? He didn't choose them, and He didn't love them because they were the more in number, but He loved them because He loved them. We call that circular reasoning, and when God wants to reason that way, let Him do it, because He's God. God says, "Why did I love you? Because I loved you." And we can say the same thing. Why does God love us? Is it because we're special in the sense that you and I are so unique and so much better than everyone else? Absolutely not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I are by nature children of wrath, even as the others. But it says here that God chose us, and His motivation for it was love. Why did God choose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him? Because He loved us. The objects of His love were not lovable. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. But God loved us because He loved us. And He says the same thing of Israel in Deuteronomy 7 there. And so that's His motivation. Love. God, grace is all that God does for us, and He finds all of the motivation to do what He does in His own heart. Think about that. Now, verse 5, He continues, "having predestinated us." Don't forget the connection of these words. Verse 3, we're chosen, right? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, these blessings are according, a harmony with the fact that He's chosen us in Him. Verse 5, "having predestinated us." He chose us. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now we're going to stop there. He chose us having predestinated us. Now he determined beforehand our destiny. He chose us for a destination. And what is that destination? Predestinate us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now this phrase, adoption of children, the word adoption, and I'll let you know to do your own study in Galatians, but adoption has nothing to do in the Bible with choosing a foreign child to be your child. The word adoption of children, has reference to giving a member of the family the place of the firstborn. For instance, in Exodus 4, verse 22, God says, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, the term firstborn and adoption are very similar. And for your own study, you need to read Galatians 3 and 4 and Hebrews 12. And you go and read those passages and talk about, we see the term firstborn and we see the term adoption. It has to do not with being born into a family. It has to do with being given the place or the position of a firstborn. And you and I, the members of the body of Christ as a whole, have this place of the adoption of children. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, have a position in God's redeeming purpose above others of his family. God chose Israel as his special adoption for the earth above the nations. And you and I, friends, if you're a member of this great thing called the body of Christ, you've been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now notice that. We're blessed according as he hath chosen us, having predestinated us. That's our destiny. Friends, our destiny is fixed. Well, that's all we can say right now. And I will just close by saying this. Notice again in verse 5, it's according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse 4, his motivation was in love. In verse 5, why did he do it? For the good pleasure of his will. Think about God this way, our Father. He loved us, and he did it all according to the good pleasure of his will. He was pleased to do it. Well, go and read Ephesians 1, 3-6. Memorize it. This is Dan Sheridan. This is Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address, crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. And we will be in your area. Let us know if you're interested in having meetings. If you want to keep this program going, please consider supporting the cost of the radio programs in your area. And again, our web address, crossandthrone.com. You can get these programs for free there. Go there and listen. And play them and do it with an open Bible. Until next time, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that God may be all in all.